Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Great job today, Corey. That worship was good, amen? Give it up for the worship team. Come on. They make it look easy, but there's actually a lot of work goes into that, right? It's easy to take the worship team for granted, and then you go somewhere else. Leave that like that. You got a Bible, you can turn with me to Isaiah 40, but don't be in a rush. It's going to be a minute before I get there. I'm pretty happy. Overall, I'm a happy guy. Because I know Jesus. He's made me happy. It's nothing worse than having depression and having nowhere to go with it. Hoping that some guy with some medication can try to maybe get the right concoction to fix you, right? It's good stopgap. Praise God, it's not our ultimate solution. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
Praise God, we have something greater we can look to, amen? I just thank God that He heals depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder. Postpartum depression. He heals mental health issues. Aren't you happy?
Amen.
Aren't you happy God didn't just leave you to who you are? Aren't you happy?
Amen.
He delivers the suicidal. I'm so thankful for that. So very thankful for that. Aren't you happy? Thank you, God, that you're a God of love. Not of anxiety. Aren't you glad that God's not anxious? Wouldn't that be disconcerting? If you were to meet God face to face and He was anxious? I'm just worried what's going to happen. That'd be scary. Right? That'd be a little scary. Like, yeah, me too, man. What's up? You're supposed to be the one with the answers. What's happening here? I speak that because I just really believe we're coming upon a season of God. We saw many people healed of mental health issues, and I just feel in my spirit we're coming on a wave of another.
Amen.
Another wave of that, and it's funny. It's funny how it's easy to judge people with mental health issues until you start to fight it yourself. It's not nearly as funny after that, I found.
Yeah.
If you're in a season just of great joy, you know. Let me say this. If you're in a season of depression, I'm here to let you know it's a season.
Come on.
Because if you're in a season of great joy, unfortunately, it's a season. Trials will come, right? And the Lord heals. The Lord heals. I wouldn't say that if I haven't seen it with my own eyes. God deliver people supernaturally of depression, of suicidal thoughts, of bipolar disorder. There's people in this room who've been healed of bipolar disorder. There's people in this room right now who've been healed of depression. There's people in this room right now who are delivered supernaturally of anxiety. I'm talking about medicated anxiety. I'm talking about there's people in this room. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm not making stuff up. This isn't power of suggestion. This isn't, if you're depressed, just be happy. How many of you know that's not really good advice? Oh, you're anxious, which just don't worry. Oh, thanks for telling me that. That helps so much. I didn't think of that one. I didn't think of just not worrying. Wow, appreciate you pointing that out for me. I'll just stop worrying now. That's not as helpful as being anointed to heal the anxious. Amen? Let's go for that. Amen? Amen. And so I would continue to lean into that in prayer. Ha, ah, feel the anointing on that. That's good. That's good. I like Jesus. I like that He's alive.
Amen.
Well, let me just say this. I really want to get into my message, but God just keeps talking to me about stuff. And so we may go a couple minutes over today. I had a word early in the week about people. Don't respond to this yet. People feel called to worship. And I have found, and Corey and I have talked about this at length, I found there's a lot of people who feel called to lots of stuff. Let me just say that. A lot of people, God will speak identity to you, and He'll speak purpose, and He'll speak call. It's almost as if we think he speaks it to us just so we can let, so he can let us know what he's going to do. But I found often he'll speak something to us to let us know what we need to do.
Amen.
Right? And I have also found the path to the Sunday morning worship team is not you just get on the Sunday morning worship team.
Amen.
And those of you who feel called to preach in stadiums, that's rarely your first gig. Very rarely your first gig, right? It's just not that often that you start off on a platform with thousands of people adoring you and throwing their money at your feet. It just doesn't normally start there. As much as it may feel that you can just stay in your room and play Fortnite, and then one day you're going to be on stage leading tens of thousands to the Lord, it often doesn't work that way. Generally, the Lord has you serving another vision before he brings people to serve yours. And let me tell you, that's to your advantage. Because if you've never served another man's vision or woman's vision, then you aren't actually qualified to have somebody serve your vision. And you can't really ask somebody to die to their vision and serve yours until you've actually lived that out.
Amen.
Just doesn't work that way. I mean, the biblical principle of serving another man's vineyard and the Lord will give you your own. It's just, he doesn't, just how it works. You got to die. And if you don't want to die, and that's not real popular these days, but Jesus called us to die. And if you're not willing to die to your dreams, then it just doesn't, if you're living for yourself, you generally don't get it. But if you live for others, God gives you more than you could have ever asked for. And so for whatever you're called to, find somebody to serve and flourish. And watch God move you into your own. But I felt specifically the Lord is adding people who sing, play instruments, and are called to be part of this worship team. And maybe beyond it, maybe this is a stop along your journey. Some of you, we're going to grow old together, right? But some of you, this is a stop along the journey. And I feel like there's a lot of people in here, Corey and I have talked about that, who feel called to that, but aren't actually taking the next step to actually make it come to pass. Right? And Corey's the one who kind of talks about the path that I'm not here to recruit for the worship team. Kind of like who we have. Right? We're not hurting for worshipers, but we feel it's part of our call to raise up musicians and singers. Matter of fact, we're working on our second album right now. We're pretty excited about that. We're actually going to do, we have a production team we're getting together in Nashville, is it? And so we're, just because we're awesome like that. I want to pray for everybody who feels called to music, to singing and to music, maybe not in this season, maybe in the next season, but I'm going to pray this very specifically. Friday night, we prayed for everybody who wanted to begin operating in a greater level of prophetic revelation, and we said, what was really cool about Friday night is we had people prophesy for the very first time in their lives. We said, who has never given a prophetic word before, come forward. Laid hands on them, they prophesied over people that night, which was really cool to watch. I was saying something. Prophecy activated. People feel called to die. Okay, none of you helped. We said if you want to operate in a greater level of prophetic anointing, come forward. However, you have to give a prophetic word to a stranger in the next 4 days. That's the caveat. And if you haven't done that yet, people, the Lord is watching. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth to see if you lied to the preacher, right? And so, I don't know what the next step for everybody in this room is. Maybe some of you, it's here. Maybe you're visiting today and you're called somewhere else. I don't know. That's not my job. My job is that God spoke this to me. And so I'm now going to pray for everybody who feels called to worship. And you might be in it now and you may not. But I want to pray for everybody I like to play guitar. I like to sing a little bit, but I don't feel called to that. I mean, I could do it with no problem, you know. But I don't feel called to that. We'll talk about that later. But if you do feel called to that, I want to pray, and I have Corey up here to pray with me. And we're just going to lay hands. Just stand if you would, and we just want to pray for you that the burden of the Lord would come upon you, that you would be convicted that you're not serving. You feel called to worship at all? Then you might want to stand. Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Thank you for your holy conviction that doesn't let us sit and allow our call to be taken by somebody else because we were too lazy to do what you called us to do, or too much pride to actually humble ourselves and serve someone else's vision. So Jesus, I thank you for your grace that Travis talked about, the grace that, Shekaba, Rekaba. Hey, if these people, I haven't even known my eyes. I don't even know who we're praying for yet. But if somebody near you is standing, I want you to stand up, put your hand on their shoulder to begin to pray for them, that they would get downloads from heaven, that God would move them right where they need to be. Shekaba. See, now I don't even know who stood up for prayer. That's good. I don't need to know. It's between you and God. In the name of the Lord. Ah, Jesus. Power today, Jesus. Power today, Jesus. Yeah, that people would take the next step in their call to worship today, Jesus. People would take the next step in their call today, Jesus. People would take the next step. Maybe you're going to get a guitar and go to a bus stop and just start singing as people get off the bus. I do not know what God is going to call you to do. But it's probably not on stage. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord. Amen. I believe you did something right there. I believe he did something right here. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Jesus. Told you, people in the front row going to get something. Shekaba. Rakaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm starting a new message series today called The Encounter. The Encounter. Look at that. You know it's spiritual because it's got a lot of stuff moving around in the graphic, right? That means Holy Spirit's at work, right? Clearly that's what that means, right, Frank? I mean, God is all in it because there's smoky stuff happening in the graphic. It's got to be God. Amen? Because he's all over the place. Hallelujah. If you're visiting today, I'm sorry. I'm able normally to stay slightly more focused, but I'm getting rocked today. And now I'm going to talk about the encounter with God, which is not going to help. Why don't we just focus on him for a second here? Jesus. You know, the last thing we need is to keep it together. That's the last thing we need is to keep it together, to look good for somebody else. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now the church, wow. I want you to keep focus on Jesus while I'm talking, okay? Can you do that? Can you do two things at once? The church is called to connect people with God. That's literally the gateway of heaven is your soul. That is the bridge. That is the bridge between heaven and earth, your soul. Right? God is God. He's in the spirit realm. You're in both the spirit realm and the natural realm. Jesus, of course, is in the natural realm, but he's in heaven. I don't know how that works exactly. Holy Spirit is here empowering you to be the gateway between heaven and earth, right? The church is the gateway. You are the church. He lives in you. And so it's our call. People say, you know, it's a point of the church to teach the Bible. No, the Bible didn't even say that. Amen? We do teach the Bible because people need to know God because the Bible talks about God. Oh, you just need to preach the gospel. The point of church is to preach the gospel. No, that's our life with non-believers is to preach the gospel. We are supposed to go into the world and tell the world about the gospel. Now, if you're the world, we have problems. Amen? Jesus. If the church is filled with the world, we got problems. So, of course, we preach the gospel in the church for those who don't know. But the main point of the church is to connect people with God, to connect people with the presence and power of God. In other words, that the world would have an encounter with God. I have found it easy for people who've heard the gospel not to get to heaven. It's easy for people. Very few people haven't heard that God loves them, that God died on a cross for their sins, that he loves them so much that he gave his son. People know that he died and rose again. They understand that. They know it. They're still not serving him. I have found it very hard to meet Jesus and not go to heaven. I have found it very, very, very difficult to encounter his love and not follow him. I have found it very hard when the risen Christ appears to you to not understand how amazing he is and how loving he is and to easily give your life for him. I have found that quite easy. Amen? There's an anointing in this house that we pray for people. This happens all the time. I don't talk about this very much because I don't want to spoil it for some. But we pray for people, and slowly but surely, out of the light comes God. And God stretches his hands and he hugs them. This just happens all the time. For people who don't even know it happens, it just happens. That people have an encounter with God. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do as a church all over the world. And I have found that that's the point, to connect people with God. Not to connect people with people, not to connect people with words of faith. It's to connect people to God. It's not even to rebuke the devil. Jesus conquered the devil. It's to connect people to God, the one who conquered the devil. That's our call. That's our call. To lead people into an encounter with him. And we hand them off to him. We hand them off to him. It's not about a man. It's not about not even about this service. It's about him. I have found that we go through seasons of warfare, though. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, this may be news to some of you, but there is a real God and there's a real devil. There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And God loves you. Hear me. The devil hates you. You know why he hates you? Because you look like your daddy. Father God, you look like him. And the devil hates God, and so he hates you. He does not want to see the plan of God come to pass, and so he fights it. He doesn't fight you particularly, but he fights God through you. Why? Because he knows that you are the gateway of heaven. Amen. And if I can close the door in you, then other people won't get touched. He has no problem leaving someone a lukewarm Christian, not doing anything for God, and moving on to someone else, just to neuter them. Right? He has no problem with that. And there is something, there's something really, really good about just standing and fighting, even though you don't see the victory. Have you noticed when you're in the warfare, you don't get the payoff yet? Right? You hear what I'm saying? Jesus. Some people just get up too fast. And that's not for me. I'm just telling you, when God is operating on you, what's the rush? What's the rush? Like, if God put you there, he probably knows you need to be there. But we get all looking at ourselves. Oh, people are going to look at me. Oh, no, no. That's not God talking. People might judge me. I doubt that's Jesus talking. Right? We just need to let him touch us. So we're in this warfare, and when you're in the warfare, we don't see the payoff. The enemy comes and says, hey, why don't you just compromise a little bit? You can get a payoff right now. Like, oh, yeah, you feel called to business, but, you know, all those regulations are just going to slow you down. Pay employees correctly. Pay their taxes. Why don't you just, you know, do this or just give you a little shortcut. The enemy loves you starting to compromise, right? He'll give you a quick way out that looks like you're going to do the right thing, but you know you're not, right? You hear what I'm saying? Oh, I feel called to be a worship leader, and they're not giving me time yet. Let me just go start my own church. And that is the beginning of church death right there. So many calls go to the desert and die because people didn't want to just be part of something else. They needed their own kingdom. But I had a word last week about coming out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. You remember that? And if you remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was in the desert in warfare, right? And you know, the Bible says that he fasted for 40 days and the devil came to do what? Tempt him. He tempted him. He didn't argue with him. He didn't come and debate him. He didn't come to overcome him. Jesus was literally tempted. Your temptation isn't sin. Just because you're looking is not sin. You keep looking, that's where the sin starts. You get angry is not the sin. Staying angry and not forgiving is the sin. Amen. Right? And so Jesus was tempted by the devil. The devil was going to give Jesus a shortcut to come into his call. And Jesus, thankfully, rebuked him. Right? And so we know that Jesus came out of the desert, the season of warfare, in the power of the Spirit. Right? We know that. However, we leave some things out right there. If we look at 4:11, in between him overcoming the enemy and coming out of the desert in the power of the Spirit, look at this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. It says, then the devil left him. Hallelujah. Who likes that season? Yeah. Then the devil left him. Now, any warfare you've been having, it's probably just a little imp. It's probably not even a real full-size demon. Have you ever seen like a little... How many people here see angels and demons? How many people, not just demons. If you see demons, I'm not interested. But if you got to see them both, right? The clean vision sees both, right? The clean gift sees both. Ha! You know, have you ever seen someone getting harassed by a little nothing, and it's just sitting on their shoulder, talking in their ear, and you're like, I just want to thump that thing with a Bible, but you got to tell it to shut up, right? I can't do it for you, right? And we're like, oh, I'm under such great persecution, you know? And it's like a little nothing. Jesus had the devil himself, right? The Satan himself was there, right? And then the devil, not a demon, not a bad thought, not sin habits, right? The devil did what? Left him. Hallelujah. I just received that in the name of Jesus. But amen. Hallelujah. Take that. Then the devil left him, and behold, he said, look at here, right? This is important. Like, they didn't have to put these words in there. Like, the Bible, there's words there for a reason. The devil left him, and check this out. Angels came and began to minister to him. This is before he came out of the desert. He's in the desert. Devil messing with him. He's hungry, right? Because he went, 40 hours? No, 40 days. I exercised a lot yesterday. I went 40 minutes, and I was hungry, right? I wanted 40 days. Angels came and began. How many of you know if Jesus needed ministry of angels? How much more do we need ministry? And so I had this word about, you know, remember about a month, maybe I guess it was a little over 2 months now, I had a word about the season of warfare coming to an end. And we think that we get supernaturally transported from the warfare to the platform. But somehow we're still suffering the wounds of the warfare. The wounds have not been healed yet. And we meet so many people who go through church drama, and I'm just going to talk about that for a second. They go through church drama, never actually get healed, and so they walk around with all these wounds and scars that they're protecting. Okay, I'm ready to minister now. And we're like, not really. It's time for you to get some ministry. It's time for you to get some healing so you're not constantly putting up your defenses like the people are the problem. The devil's the problem. Our inability to discern the difference between people and the devil is a massive problem. We need to get healed enough that we're not looking at the devil in people anymore. We can just look at Jesus, right? And so angels came and ministered to him. Angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now, God could have raised up anybody to minister to Jesus. He could have brought Moses from the dead. Amen? Yeah. He could have invented, he could have had one of them multi-eyed beasts in heaven come down and minister to him. He could have had a volcano turn into his mom with, you know, big arms and hug him. Like, he could have done literally whatever he wanted, right? The moon could have turned into a smiley face and breathed on him. I mean, like, he's God. He could turn into a big, like, slushy from 7-Eleven that he slurped on and felt better, right? Like, he could have done whatever he wanted, right? He's God. It's not like God was bound to do it one way. He's like, I could do whatever I want, and here's how I choose. As if angels coming isn't weird enough. We're like, oh, it's just angels coming. That's odd. Spirit beings were ministering to him. How much more do we need ministry? Wow. How much more do we need ministry? How much more do we need to sit and get recovered after the warfare before we go out and do what God has called us to do? Now, as a house, we have this great call. There's this great call in this house to carry what God is pouring out here to the world, to connect people to the presence and power of God. As we work hard to have excellent services and to minister to people and do everything we're called to do, it can get like, and in your life, you know, we're running after what God has called us to do, raise our kids, do work, be excellent, be present, still have time for devotion. We find ourselves as we're pouring out, giving, doing everything we feel like we're supposed to do. We're like, we just have to pick up scraps to sustain ourselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you're just going from one crisis to another, to another, to another. You got through 1 week. Oh my gosh, the next week is already booked. One crisis to another. And you're just trying to grasp for scraps to maintain your mental health, to maintain your relationship with God, to keep it going, to have something for you. And especially leaders, as people are calling you, wanting ministry, wanting to pull on you in five different directions, wanting wisdom, wanting advice, wanting the word, wanting just your presence. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh my gosh, let me just steal away 30 seconds for this. And let me just try to, and for you ladies who have young children, they're you know, postpartum depression is real, and kids, you know, you become a walking feed station, and all of a sudden, your body's not even your own. Right, moms? You know what I'm talking about. Like, all of a sudden, there's nothing that's just yours, and you find yourself completely depleted. Jesus said, the Bible says that before Jesus left the desert, God sent angels to minister to him. Now, remember, we talked last week about how we're supposed to live with a vision for our life. Remember this? I keep talking about this, keep coming back to this. And I also talked about how Jesus has a vision for his church, right? We don't just say, okay, what do I do? Good. That's what we're supposed to do. We're all supposed to sing. We're all supposed to. Jesus has a vision for the church, and it's important for us to hear his vision, not just tell him our vision.
Amen.
All right, so Jesus has a vision for the church, and we can actually see it in the Bible. Jesus, as you remember, central character of the New Testament, yeah? Central character of the whole Bible, right? He's a pretty big deal in this book, right? Main character, right? Jesus, of course, going to give you the cliff notes, was born from a virgin, lived with no sin, yelled at his friends a lot, right? Did miracles, was murdered, doing nothing wrong, got raised from the dead. Amen? And then he talked to his disciples a little bit, then he went up into heaven. Right? That's kind of the short version of what happened. And if you put your trust in him, you can spend eternity in heaven. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, as we look at this story, and I teach on this a lot, it's really important to remember that Jesus didn't have a lot of time on earth in between him coming back from the dead and going to heaven. Right? And so the last things he said were pretty important. Pretty important. If you're not going to talk to somebody, you're not going to be face to face for a while. The last things are pretty important. And so if we study these things, they're probably pretty important. Now, a lot of the church drama or denominational arguments aren't over these kinds of things. They're over stuff that doesn't really matter, right? But this is pretty important right here. Jesus said this. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus, now this is like, these are like last words. Like the angels are already coming to take him up, right? Winds are stirring. He's about to fly away. Like, I'm out. Peace. I'm out. Right? Like, he's like, I'm out. Right? He's about to leave. He's like, oh, by the way, here's what's really important. Here's my words for you. Here's, if you're looking for direction, here's Jesus talking. It says, gathering them together, talking about his disciples, he commanded them. Now, what's that word again? Now, he didn't suggest. Right? Jesus has, like, he's got a bunch of titles. One of them is the King of all kings.
Amen.
That means there's a bunch of kings on the earth. There could be all kinds of kings of your life. He's king over them. Right? Another one is Lord of all lords. Right? So that means like if anybody in your life has authority, Jesus has authority over even them.
Amen.
As well as you. As well as us.
Amen.
Right? Oh, but they told me to do this. Well, I am over them. Right? You can't take it any higher than Jesus. Right? You can't take it any higher than him. So Jesus, when he gives a command, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no one to appeal it to. Right? Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. And then he says, in the last days, John baptized with water, but Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus said, don't go anywhere, but to wait. Let's read it again in Acts 1:4. gathering them together. Let's all say it together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Now, in our desire to serve Jesus, what I find is in the church, we major on things that we can do even without Jesus. Many of the orders of church leaders to church people are to do things that you could do without God. Be good, give, serve. Like, that's the number one stuff. And everything else will fall. But the main thing is the main thing, and that's being connected to God. And what Jesus said you really need, number one, is you need to wait until I empower you. You need to, okay, hear this. The Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? We all believe in the Great Commission, right? Yeah, we believe in it. You believe in it?
Yeah.
You believe the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Yes, I believe in it. But before the Great Commission comes the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment came before the Great Commission. Not like you go and do stuff for Jesus and he'll come and do stuff for you. First thing he says, hey, you're going to love. You're going to love God. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to love God. You are going to love the Lord your God. That's the Great Commandment. Then comes the Great Commission. But you go out and do the Great Commission without the Great Commandment, all you have is you. And you are going to run dry. You're going to run dry. It's not sustaining. It's not. Life is not sustaining without the life-giving force of Jesus. You can patch it. You can cover it. You can develop coping strategies. You can lower your priorities. You can lower your standard of living. You can lower your expectation. But the idea that you can live loving people your whole life and not be offended without God is just, that's foolishness. All you can do is become a doormat. Oh, it's okay. They're just treating me poorly. No. That's not actually what Jesus promised. So Jesus tells them, before you go, you have to wait. Now, look with me in Psalm 62. He says, the psalmist says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. Now, many of us are doers and we do stuff. But the psalmist said, I got to wait for God because only in him is my salvation. We live like in us is our salvation. In my works, and me getting stuff together, and me patching holes. And some of you are so amazing and talented that you can build a pretty, pretty amazing life without God. It's just not the God life. It's just not supernatural. It's just not exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Wow, it's just you. And that's, if that's good enough for you, that's good enough. I want something more than me. I've met me. I'm not that impressed. Amen? Wow, I think there's something greater. Now, the thing about waiting in silence for God is your soul hates it. Your soul hates it. We hate to be quiet. We hate to be silent. We have to be talking. We have to be doing. And so God puts some rules on us. And we think, God's trying to ruin my life. He's trying to, you know, God comes up with rules for a reason. Now, before church, I showed up early here this morning. I'm walking around. I'm praying. I'm kind of just seeing what God's going to do, kind of seeing the spiritual atmosphere and just lifting my heart to Jesus. And eventually a couple people showed up. Corey here is the worship leader, was here. And Sarah is our leader of Revival Kids, and she's here. And I like to bless the Revival Kids. I like to just kind of pray around here. And I go back there, and you know, Noah's there. Noah's what, two? Noah's back there. And he says, we're going to watch a movie. Sit down. And he's like this, sit down. Sit down to watch the movie. I said, I actually have to work. I can't sit down right now to watch the movie. And then he says to me, no standing on the stage. No standing on the stage. I was like, apparently there's some rules that have been implemented before they came here. You know, when you got a little one, you go there and say, listen, when it's time to go, we're going to leave. My son would come home. I remember when he went to pre-K, you know, they told him all the rules, you know, at VPK, because he'd never been in school before, and tell him the rules. He came home, told us all the rules, and, you know, stand in line, all this. Second day he comes home, he goes, there's a new rule. I'm like, what's the new rule? No standing on the bushes. They needed a rule for that, did they? Wonder why they needed a rule for that. Wonder if somebody needed to know to not stand on the bushes. So then Noah says to me, can't wear clothes in the shower. I'm sorry, what? No clothes in the shower. I'm like, no clothes in the shower. All right. There's no shower here. I'm not sure why. She says, well, he wanted to get in the bathtub this morning. It was wet. He had his clothes on. So I had to tell him, no clothes in the shower. I was like, no clothes. Got it, buddy. No clothes in the shower. I feel you. No clothes in the shower. It's like, I got to go now. Give me a hug. Bye-bye. And so we think like God's got rules for us. And can you imagine what Noah thinks about his mom's rules? Like, why are you trying to ruin all my fun? I know we're going to go somewhere, but I feel like, wouldn't you like just take a shower with the clothes on? Like, why waste time getting undressed? Let me just shower. Why do I have to sit down to watch the movie? Maybe because somebody else might want to see the movie, and I need you not running around. I'm putting on the movie, so you shut up and stay still so I can get something done. And if you're running around while I'm playing the movie, now I got to listen to something I don't want to hear, and it's not even accomplishing what I need to accomplish, right? And so God puts these rules in our lives to accomplish things that he needs accomplished that we may or may not see. You hear what I'm saying? We don't see why he's telling us to do these things, but there's a good reason, right? It's better for us. It's better for us. Do you hear me? Yeah. And so he comes up with these rules. Our soul hates waiting for God because we like to do what we like to do. When we sit and shut, now if you look at this in Psalm 62, let's put that up one more time. It says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. Now that waits in silence is really one Hebrew word about the soul. Soul waits in silence. And it really means sit down and shut up. My soul, sit down, shut up for God. Sit down, shut up. And look, it's Psalm 130. It says, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in his word, do I hope? As we sit and wait for God, we're so tempted to take control of the moment. We're so tempted to like fill the air with what we think needs to be said, what we think needs to happen. Literally, we want to help God out about what we're going to talk about now. We're going to have some prayer time, God, and let me tell you what I need you to do. And there's a time for that. There's a time for that. But there's more time, a better time, to hear what he has to say. In your word, do I hope? If you haven't heard his word, it's hard to have hope. You have to sit down and shut up. I like hanging out with people smarter than me and more accomplished than me. Well, sometimes I'm intimidated, but I like to do it anyways. It stretches me. But when I'm around people who are more accomplished, I like to listen to what they talk about. Have you been around like really successful people and they don't talk about stuff you talk about? They talk about successful people stuff. And I like to ask them questions and I like to see what they like to talk about. So someone who's like really successful in ministry, like I really like to meet the legends of our faith, and I'll ask them questions because I just want to hear them, their perspective on things, because their perspective is different than my perspective. That's why they're successful. Amen. And I like to hear what they have to say. They come to the table with stuff I never thought of. That's why I like to hear from them. And so when God comes into the room and we're always setting the agenda, doesn't make a lot of sense. Perhaps we should have a meeting with Jesus and see what he wants to talk about. Perhaps where we're struggling is because we haven't actually got a word from God that we can hope in. Perhaps he has. Let me say this really carefully. People who have really been hurt by religion, it robs them of the ability to hope in God. Because they mix religion with an actual relationship with our Creator. And so maybe they just heard about the rules, but they haven't heard about the, just sit and see what he wants to talk about. Because they've been told their whole life what God wants to talk about. And it's rarely what God actually wants to talk about. It's just rules that maybe was for that person. He says in Psalm 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day. Now, when you want to wait on God for God to talk, it may take you all day. You may need to block out some time. I have found really anointed prayer time, and it's sleep time. I found God loves to pray during sleep time. I found often if you really want God, he'll say, and you're like, God, I just don't have time. He's like, how about we pray during sleep time? Anybody else notice that? You're like, man, I'm so tired. I'm ready to go to sleep. And you go to lay down. God's like, hey, how about we go hang out now? I'm like, he's like, well, you said you've been busy during the day, so maybe at night we can get together. Did anybody notice that? God, but I might be tired tomorrow. Uh-huh. He's like, I won't. I'll be good. I'll get enough rest for both of us. I'm at peace. Have you noticed that? Sleep time, God loves that. And so what I like to do proactively is pray during daytime so I can sleep during sleep time. That's what I like to do. I know your trick. I'm just going to go ahead and schedule time during the day. There's another anointed time Jesus likes to pray, and that's wake up early time. He loves wake up early time. If you've not talked to him and he said, hey, how about we get together tomorrow at 5 a.m.? You're like, oh, normally sleeping at 5 a.m., God. He's like, normally, but normally you don't hear me, so maybe at 5 a.m. Oh. Got me with that one, didn't you? Got me there. All right. Yeah, 5 a.m. Got you, right? And so let's look. I'm going to give you three very quick things, if you can give me another 10 minutes or so, and we're going to get in this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Bible says, do you not know? Have you not heard the everlasting? Wow. Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases in power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Lord is saying those who wait on him. It's almost as if God wants to actually give you the strength you're trying to get on your own. It's almost as if the Lord wants to come and sustain you with his own life. It's almost as if Jesus Christ himself died so that we can get what we can't get on our own. Perhaps God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to connect us with an eternal supply of love and power and peace. Amen. That is the word of the Lord for you today. Hallelujah. It's a good word. It's a good word. Three quick things, and I'm going to let you go. Number one, waiting on God is an act of faith. Waiting on God is an act of faith. Hallelujah. In this society where we do all things on our own, we're on our own, we got to accomplish things on our own, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Waiting on God is an act of faith. Again, Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unscrutable. You have to believe in this story that God, the creator of heaven and earth, who sees all your drama, actually wants to come and spend time with you. That takes faith, because you know you. And it's all about his goodness, not your ability to be good. It takes faith. It's an act of faith to say, I am going to sit here, God. I'm going to sit here and have faith that you actually want to come. And I'm not talking. I'm not touching anything. I mean, as soon as you decide to do this, all of a sudden you're going to want to go get a cup of water. As soon as you do this, all of a sudden the phone is going to ring. The kids are going to need something. All of a sudden you remember, oh, I forgot to do that thing. Let me just send this one quick email. Next thing you know, an hour later, you got to go somewhere. Faith says, you know, spending time with God is more important than all these tasks that I've made important. We sacrifice the important for the urgent. And we need to tell the urgent things, guess what? I waited too long to do you. Now it's too late. I got to do this important thing. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, you got to believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Let me say it again. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. You crack the door open, he floods it in with light. You set aside some time. God, I'm going to seek you in this next hour right here. I'm just going to wait for you. I am operating in faith right now. The problem is we don't stay still long enough to hear God. We're running around. We're setting the agenda. We're babbling on in eternity. We've got a prayer list we're going through, and we don't wait and give God time to talk. Oh, I got to do this for that person. Oh, I got to do that for that person. Oh, I got to get this done. I got to take care of this. Watch this. Remember when Jesus sent out his disciples? Remember? He empowered them, and he sent them out, you know? And he gave them some instruction. How many of you believe that Jesus likes people? Watch what he told his disciples. Luke 10:4. He gave them some instruction. He wants them to operate in faith. Watch this. Carry no money belt, right? No. I'm going to provide for you. No bag, no shoes. And look at this one. Greet no one on the way. Don't even be polite to people. When you're waiting on God, people don't even matter. You set aside some time for God, don't even greet the people who come around you. Like, that's kind of rude. I'm telling you, that's faith. All these soul constraints that want to come and pull you away from God. He's like, I need you to stay focused on what I've called you to do. Look at him. Don't even greet him. Don't even talk to him on the road. They see you. I'm focused on what God has me to do right now. Let me tell you what. He said, don't take money. Don't take a bag. Now, if he wouldn't have listened to don't greet anyone, they'd need some money and they'd need a bag because they wouldn't be able to hear where God is leading them. All of a sudden, I'm on a mission from God. Oh, that's funny. We need somebody from. Oh, I guess I'm supposed to go what you want me to do. Oh, I guess you're the one who's guiding me now. You were following God. Now you're following people. He's like, don't even greet people. That doesn't sound very polite. Well, it sounds like the key to faith right there, right? Number two, waiting on God is an act of devotion. I'll say it again. Waiting on God is an act of devotion. We've devoted our entire lives to God. We've devoted our lives to him. We devoted our finances to him. We devoted our time to him. And so when we wait on him, wow, when we wait on him, it's an actual act of devotion. Again, Isaiah 40, put it up. Put it up. Because I'm not near my scriptures right now. Next scripture, put it up. Right there. Hit next. Here we go. He gives strength to the weary. Wow. To him who lacks might, he increases, what's it say? Power. When we devote our lives to him, he comes and sustains what we have given him. You devote your finances to him, now all of a sudden he's in charge of the finances. You devote your time to him, all of a sudden he's in charge of the time. And he's like, listen, you wait on me, then all of a sudden your strength and your power comes from me, not from you. Psalm 33, he says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. We're not there yet. We're at Psalm 33. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. He's our sustainer when we trust in him. Third thing. Let me see if I can lift this glory off of Corey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's got to work now, God. Hallelujah. Act like this isn't happening. In a professional church, this wouldn't be happening right here. Here you go, Corey. We'll get professional one day, and we won't have people overcome by the power of God. So then we'll just have to let God be in charge. Number three, waiting on God is an act of surrender. Look at this. Zechariah chapter 2, he says, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord. Well, look at this. Zechariah, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Let me suggest that in your yelling and screaming and intercession at times, he's not getting aroused, he's not getting provoked by your yelling. He would get provoked by you waiting on him. Literally, I need God to talk. I need him to move. I need him to do something. Let me yell and scream for another half hour. Now, how about we just be quiet, surrender, say, God, I've done all I can do. I'm just going to sit here until you talk. I hope you don't make any major decisions until you hear God speak. I hope you just sit and wait for God to speak. I'm here to let you know he's faithful. Bible says right here, if you silent all flesh before him because he's aroused from his holy habitation. By your silence, by your trusting, by your waiting, by your faith. Again, Isaiah chapter 40. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to spend about 5 minutes right now. Let me tell you how I do this in my life. No one would move quite yet. Let me tell you how I do this in my life. I turn on some music. Sometimes it's loud music. Sometimes it's soft music. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in and what I'm trying to accomplish. And I will just sit there and shut up. And I'll let God just come, do whatever he wants to do. Talk about whatever he wants to talk about. Now, like you, sometimes I get distractions. I keep a little pad of paper next to me with a pen. And I start thinking about, as soon as I calm my mind, I start thinking about all the things I got to get done. And I just write it down. I'll do a bullet list of things I got to get done. It pops up again. I'm like, no, you're already on the list. Oh, you got to write that. No, on the list. I don't have to think about you anymore. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, you got to go clean it. Okay, it's on the list. You got to clean it. It's on the list. Put it on the list. And then you just be quiet. Just quiet yourself before the Lord and let him come, and he'll talk to you about whatever he wants. And so if you give me 5 minutes, I'm running a few minutes late today, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. I promise you. 5 minutes. We're just going to sit before the Lord. And if you're a little uncomfortable being quiet before the Lord, good. Then you really need this. If you don't know what to say or think or do, sit here for a moment and just ask Jesus, do you love me? What do you think about me? Just sit and listen. So if you need to move, you need to lay down, you need to kneel at the altar, you need to get up from the floor, whatever you need to do, get into a place right now where you can be comfortable for 5 minutes and you can just hear God. Hallelujah. God may bring a memory of a time you encountered him earlier. Let him talk to you. You may see him smiling at you. You begin to feel him. We're seeking you, Jesus. Come and reign upon our hearts. None compare to you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm. Wow.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice, that this week, they will begin to carve out time for you to come and flood their lives, Jesus. You would flood their lives. Now, before anybody goes anywhere, we're going to play some music here in a moment, and you can just stay right here in this place having an encounter with God. If you want information on anything we talked about, we'll be in the lobby. I'd love to meet you if you're a first-time guest. I would love to say what's up. If you need prayer for anything, if you need salvation, you need to meet Jesus, if you want deliverance, if you need healing in your body, we're going to have some people right here at the front that would really enjoy, be our honor to pray for you. And we love you. This is going to be an amazing week. So go and encounter Jesus this week. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Good word. Thank you. Hallelujah. Feel free to stay where you are. Amen. Yeah. Just give a clap offering to the Lord for what he did, please. If you're on the ground and you want to stay on the ground, you can stay on the ground. Amen. They're going to play some music and you can just soak here in this presence for as long as you want.